Turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 this morning. Continue on in our study here through the book of Acts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your presence here in this place. Lord, we thank you for this time that we spend together as a church to study your word, to grow closer to you. Lord, to be reminded through these songs that we have sung this morning and through the message in your word, Lord, that you would just remind us of your presence. Lord, I pray as we open your word this morning that you would just open our hearts, that you would open our minds. Lord, I pray that you would close my mouth and that you would speak your message to us today as your church. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and they said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest rapport, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word."
Amen.
The important message as we think about today, and reminder, we continue on in our study in the book of Acts, we see some challenges in the church. We think about opportunity today to celebrate Christmas and all the things of Christmas. I thought, you know, even in the midst of these verses, we can find challenge and importance for the church today. The very first verse that we read, "In those days when the number of the disciples increased," or continued to grow, they multiplied. I wonder today in the context of the church, in the life of the church, is that the pattern that we see? Do we see a multiplication in the church in those days? As we've read in the chapters leading up to this chapter, we've been reminded over and over the growth of the church, right? It was slow at first. It was small, a small number of people. We started out thinking about just a group of 12 faithful people, right? At a cross that led to something more than that. And we've grown by the thousands up until this point. It is kind of rumored through some thoughts of the historical accounts that there might have been somewhere around 25,000 in the church at this point in time. That's a few people, right? Few people to think about faithful servants. And it says that they continued to multiply. In the days of multiplication, what happened? Murmuring. Man, that sounds a little more like the church today, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In the days of multiplication, in the days when God is working and in our hearts and our lives in the church, do you ever hear murmuring? If you don't, you probably ought to open your ears. A lot of times it's in our own life. The murmuring comes. In the midst of the movement of the Holy Spirit, in the midst of the movement of God in the church today, we're hearing a lot of murmuring. We're hearing a lot of discouragement and struggle and difficulty. We're in the place and the situation in the life of the church today where life truly does just seem difficult. When we turn to each other, when we turn to the church, when we turn to people outside of the church and we see questions and wondering. And I want you to think this morning, in the life of the church, in the midst of murmuring, God is still moving.
Amen.
In the midst of the early church, as it says here, there was a great murmuring. And we see, of course, it gives us an account of the Grecians against the Hebrews. And we have to clarify very specifically, these were Jews, right? They were Jews. They just happened to live in different areas, in different places. They spoke different language. And we see the Greeks, we see the Hebrews, we see that there was a pattern in their life that they were separating themselves in a separation that God never intended truly. The same pattern that we find today, that we create separation sometimes in the church that really God has never outlined. And we see the reason for the murmuring. We begin to look at each other. We begin to look at our lives and our relationships with each other. And whether we want to admit it or not this morning, a lot of times the murmuring in our life is simply because we've created something that God never intended. We've allowed something in our life. We've allowed, well, we get very simple and very direct. We've allowed Satan to sneak into our hearts. We've allowed him to sneak into our homes and into our churches and into our lives today, between husbands and wives, between children and parents, between brothers and sisters in Christ. We've looked in the life of the church as a whole. Satan is going to sneak in if we allow him to do it. That's His goal. It's His desire. And we're celebrating in a season of Christmas today the birth of a Savior. And I promise you, Satan's going to sneak in if we let him. It's a part of the world we live in today. But if we get serious about a relationship with the Lord, we recognize it was not part of God's plan. They were murmuring against each other. And then we see the definition. What were they murmuring about? Food. Well, you boil it down real simple. They were murmuring about food, right? Now, I know there's a deeper thought there. There's a deeper recognition in this verse. It says they were being neglected. The widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. The Grecians were looking, and they were looking to the Hebrew women, and they were saying, you're taking better care of the elderly women in your group than you are of ours. And whether we want to admit it or not, this morning we get in arguments and discussions and we get in conflict in our heart and our life today in the church over something as simple as that, don't we? We get into a place today where Satan begins to sneak in because we fought over the color of the carpet in the church or what we want to have sung next Sunday or what we want to do when our schedule happens. We've got all the details lined out and we come to church and we look at the pastor and we say, that was the worst message ever last week. He needs to get it figured out, right? And the Sunday school lesson wasn't any better. And we get to a place where we look to all of the difficulty in the church and it boils down to a very simple thing that we've allowed Satan to creep into our heart, into our life and take a foothold. And it happens when the church is growing. It happens when the movement of the Spirit is there. And if you don't recognize it, just think to the very day and the moment in your heart today when you remember accepting Jesus as your Savior. And think about the days following that. And I know for some of you that's been a long time, and for some of you that's just last week. But you think about the time when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Life was wonderful, right? The Spirit moved in, you were excited, you were encouraged in your heart. The church came around you and loved you, hopefully, and built you up. You became a part of the church and you were excited about what it meant to be in church. The Sunday evening service and the Wednesday night service weren't a burden and a struggle. It was a joy to be in the house of the Lord because the Spirit was working in your life. And the Spirit was moving in the early church and they were continually being multiplied. And the same thing that happens in our lives individually happens in the body of the church. God moves and the Spirit works and the old devil says, I'm losing the battle, right? I'm losing. I've got to do something. And we began to see that the human nature that is in every one of us come out just a little bit more. And before long, the excitement of the Holy Spirit in our life is not as strong as it once was. The desire to be with your church family is not what it used to be. You look to everybody else and you look at each life and each situation and you say, well, they said this to me and they did that to me and I don't want to be around them, so I'm going to quit going to church. We're going to separate ourselves from this and we're going to separate ourselves from that and hopefully they'll figure it out. And we get to this place, we realize that we've now moved away from the Lord and away from the family of God that He's given to us for support and strength because we looked at our life and said we didn't like what they said or what they did. And in the early church, this was no different. The widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. Of course, we have an example in verse 2. It says, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and they said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. So the group came to the disciples and they said, hey, you're neglecting us here. Our ladies are being neglected. You need to do something about it. You know what? The most important message that we can gain from the 12 and their faithfulness to God is what was worded right there in that verse. Their knowledge and understanding of a relationship with our Heavenly Father comes to the very basics of what they said. It is not reason that we should leave the Word of God.
Amen.
We are not called to leave the Word of God and serve the widows. Their breakfast and their lunch and their dinner and worry about what they need and how they need it. We're not called to that. We're called to preach the Word of God. We're called to teach the Word of God. But there are those that are called to meet the needs of the widow.
Amen.
There are those that are called to do the service. And it's an example of a very wise decision in the midst of the church that's being overlooked today by everybody in the church. We come to this place of saying if we don't have a position of authority and a position of status in the church, we're nothing. And I'm here to tell you today that if you're standing in a position of authority in the church, you better tremble before God because it's a place that we need to honor.
Amen.
And it's not a place for everybody. whether we recognize it or not. It's not a place for everybody to be a Sunday school teacher and to be a pastor and to be a deacon and to be a leader in the church. But there is a place for every person in the family of God.
Amen.
And the disciples knew that. They knew it very clearly. That's why they give the instruction that they do here. It's not important for us when the multitude came and said, deal with this. And whether you want to recognize it or not, this is the pattern of the church. The expectation of the leadership in the church is we go to the church and complain to the leadership and they fix my problem. Right? I don't have magic answers for you. You can come and vent your problems to me, and I want you to know the most important thing I can ever tell you is to read your Bible and to get right with the Lord and know what God has called you to do.
Amen.
Because if you want to get put to work, I can put you to work, but that may not be where God wants you to be.
That's right.
We can put you in a place and do certain things. And there, if you haven't realized that, there's plenty to do in this church too. There's a place for you. But they began to worry and struggle, and difficulty came amongst the church. And the 12 had a very wise decision. And it wasn't just a thought on the back of their mind. It was because they were led of the Spirit. It's because the very explanation they give us in verse 2, that they knew that their responsibility was to study the Word of God. To preach the Word of God. We should not leave the Word to serve tables. Wherefore, in verse number 3, their direction is what? Look out among you some men to do the job. Look out amongst the multitude of people and let's get serious about it. And it's not a very popular topic today in the life of the church to use the word what we reference as deacons most often in the church. That's kind of the common terminology we have, at least in our church. That's what we begin to see right here. A calling out of, and it's very specific. I want you to look at it. God's word says it for a reason. It says there, look out among ye seven men to do the job. And men, whether you want to hear it or not, God has called you to step up and do something. Whether the men of our world want to hear it today, God has called for men to be the leadership in the church. And I'm going to tell you today, the vast majority of churches today are filled with women, and the men are at home doing whatever it is they want to do. The women are the ones being faithful. You don't believe me? Just look around the room. You don't believe me? Look around the church and look around the world today. Friday night in Only Springs, we had more women than we did men. A couple of the old guys showed up a little bit late and they said, man, aren't you glad we showed up, or you'd have been outnumbered tonight. You know, that's the pattern of the church. Where's the men? But a very specific call in these verses. Look out among you, seven men, and grab the first guy that'll say yes, right? Grab a hold of the first man you see and tell him you need to come over here and wait tables. No, he gives some very specific instruction. The disciples say, look out among these men and find seven men that are of honest rapport. Man, what we need today in the church is honest men.
Amen.
That will do what God has called us to do. To look past the world and the image of what the world says about man and what we think we've got to accomplish in our life and our families and our relationships, and get to the place where God has called us to be. To get into the Word of God and say, no matter what anybody else says, I want to be obedient to the Father. I want to be obedient to the Word of God and the truth of God. And I want to live a life, not so that I can get the pat on the back or that my wife will come up and say, man, you're doing great. Or to my kids, no. So that we can honor God with the life that He's given to us.
Amen.
And the disciples said, look out among you and find these honest men. And then the next part of that qualification that is given here is that they're full of the Holy Ghost. That means that we look out men that know Jesus Christ. I want to bring to your thought for just a minute that there's a difference between honest men and honest men that are full of the Holy Spirit. The church needs men that are filled with the Holy Spirit. That are willing to listen to the Spirit that we say lives in our life. When God calls and the Spirit moves in your life, you don't ask questions. You don't wonder about it. You don't sit back for 6 months and say, well, maybe I'll get to it next year. We're coming on the first of the year. It's New Year's resolution time, right? We don't need to wait for that. We wait till God says do it, and then we do it.
Amen.
And we listen. Men that are full of the Holy Spirit will do whatever God calls them to do despite what anybody else says. What it looks like, or what it might feel like, or what it might impact in my life. They'll get to a place of uncomfortable situation if God's called me there. Be uncomfortable today. It's okay. That's where God moves. It's where the Spirit works in the life of people. Seven men full of the Holy Ghost. And then he gives another qualification, wisdom. Not the smartest guy, the ones that know how to use the... Right? We got lots of knowledgeable people today. Lots of people educated with all kinds of things. But do they know how to use the knowledge God's given them?
Amen.
That's the distinction between knowledge and wisdom. Look out amongst yourself. Seven men that are honest and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Who we may appoint over this business. We want to put them in a position to serve God. We want to get them in the right place, in the right situation, in the right time so that they can be used of God to do what's necessary. Most important thing that was recognized by the disciples that there was a problem. That's the biggest downfall in the church today. We don't recognize the problem when it's staring us in the face. Why don't we recognize it? Because we quit studying the Word of God. We quit searching the will of God for the church. And we've gone somewhere in the pattern of the church where we've tried to make church life comfortable for everybody. And we've tried to make it what the world says the church ought to be. And we've lost sight of what God's Word says.
Amen.
These disciples knew what needed to be done. They recognized the problem that was brought to their attention. And I guarantee you, it wasn't that they didn't know about it. They were waiting for the time for the Lord to open the doors for people. And I'm telling you today, God has opened the doors for you to be used by Him if you do it.
That's right.
Every one of you. To be used of God in the way that He's lined out in His Scriptures. Whom we may appoint to this business, but we will give ourselves in verse 4. Do you think it's important that the disciples mention it again? You will appoint them to this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word.
Amen.
Shame on us preachers when we quit continually being in prayer and we quit studying the Word. We're busy. I'm busy. I'll tell you right now, I've got more on my plate most days than I know what to do with. And I throw it on tomorrow's plate and hope I get it done, and the pile gets bigger every single day. There's a problem in the church today. When leadership quits praying continually, and we quit studying the Word of God because we've got to tend to all the other things that need to be done. When the leadership in our church has to worry about grandma getting her feelings hurt because she didn't get the food she needed. And we get in a position where the pastor has to be concerned because everybody quit coming to church because they're mad at everybody else. And we have to get concerned because all of a sudden now the church has fallen to pieces and we don't really know why. And the pastor has to worry about all those things because why? I don't know why. Because the church feels like we're supposed to. And it's not just the pastor, but the church quit praying. We've lost. We got signs all over Fowler, right? You got them in your yards, most of you. We're going to pray for Fowler. Did you remember to pray for Fowler this week? And to pray for what God wants to do in this church? And to pray for each other? I promise you, if we're praying the way God's outlined us to, we'd know the problems and we'd deal with them before we ever got there.
Amen.
Because the Spirit would move. And the leadership in the church today, not just in this church, in every church all over the world, could do what God has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
To continually pray, to study the Word of God. They recognized, the disciples recognized what God had called them to do was to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
To pray. Yes, to pray for the movement of God. Yes, to pray for the church. If we just took time to pray for each other, can you imagine what your prayer life would look like this week if you just committed to pray for every person in this room every day for the next 7 days? How much longer would you be praying tomorrow than you did yesterday? And you say, I can't pray that long. It don't take no effort at all. If you just look around the room, you take a mental picture this morning of the people that are sitting here, even if you don't know their name, and you pray for them. Because God knows where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows who they are. And what's going on in their life.
Mm-hmm.
We stay faithful to continually praying. When the church saw difficulty, when the murmuring started, the disciples said, we need to pray. We need to study the Word of God. And we need to start getting in motion and in action. The most common response today when murmuring starts in the church is to back away. I don't want to be there. I don't want to do it. I don't want to hear him. I don't want to see him. I don't want to deal with it. So I'm going to quit going. What happened in the early church? When the murmuring started, they got together and they prayed.
Amen.
And they found people that were ready to do the work. And they stepped up and they said, God's called me to do it, so I'm going to do it. They didn't make excuses. They didn't whine and cry for 6 months and then show back up to church and hope something changed. They got serious. And they prayed for each other. And the saying pleased, verse 5, think about that. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. That's a good thing. They started out with obedience, right?
Amen.
They were given a command. This is who you need to look for. And that when they were given the direction, the most important thing for the church today, when we understand direction from the Word of God, it's going to make everybody else comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. It's one of the battles we're facing in church life today is how do we get everybody on the same page? How do we get them moving in the same direction? How do we get them focused to the things of God? And the only way to do that is to pray continually, study the Word of God, and help the church to see the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's what they did. And they gave instruction through the Word of God. Look out, you seven men that are faithful, that are honest, that are of the Holy Spirit, that are looking for wisdom, that can make good decisions according to the Word of God, not according to the man. Not according to our thoughts, but according to the Word of God. And when they did that, they all enjoyed it. They were pleased, it says. The whole multitude was pleased to hear the solution to the problem. And when we get serious about the murmuring and the difficulty in our life, and we look to the Word of God and we say, man, this is what God's Word said, just deal with it, right? That's what He says. Now let's believe it. And let's work according to that pattern in the church today. And when they did, they were pleased. And they began to choose out seven men full of the Holy Spirit, men of faith. And Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timnon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. In verse number 6, it says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So they picked out these seven men that are faithful. A couple of them we hear about. The rest of them we don't hear too much about, right? There's a couple we hear a little bit more. We're going to read more about them in the book of Acts just a little bit further. Stephen rings a bell with a lot of you probably right away. We hear about Philip. You remember about Philip?
Amen.
And here's a great challenge for the church today. We get to this idea that the position of deacon in the church is just a menial little task. Nobody wants to be the deacon because they get all to do all the grunt work, right?
Yeah.
They get to take care of all the widows and all the problems in the church. And who wants to be one of those guys? You look at how important it was for them to be full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they were servants of God. And they were committed to the ministry of God. And you don't believe me, read ahead and find out about Stephen. Find out about his life. We see just a little bit in the rest of this chapter. They were faithful. They brought him to the apostles. They said, here's our seven men. What do you think? Man, the apostle said, man, we've been praying, we've been reading the Bible, we've been searching out God's direction. Looks like you got seven good men. Let's get them ready to go. Here they are. They brought them before there. Here's the exciting part, right? They laid hands on them. Man, everybody gets excited when you start talking about laying on hands. That sounds interesting. What's that? What's that all about? No, they didn't have a party and start smacking people in the head and doing all kinds of crazy things like you hear in the world today. They got serious. They brought him amongst the group of the church. And there's a significance in the laying on of the hands. There's no power in the physical lives of these apostles. What they did not have anything to do with them.
That's right.
Amen.
It had to do with the spirit that was in their heart.
Amen.
They brought these seven men in front of the group of 25,000 or so people, whatever it might be. We don't need to worry about numbers. They brought them in there in the group of faithful believers. And they said, here's your seven men that are going to serve. And we feel like God's brought them here. And we're comfortable with what's going on. We believe that this is a movement of the Holy Spirit. And we want to give them our blessing. We want to give them the opportunity to serve God. They put their hands on them in an attitude of prayer. And if you haven't been in one of our deacon ordination services, it's the very same thing we do right here in this church when it happens.
Amen.
Because God has called for those people to do it. To be a part of the ministry. To serve spiritually. Lead in the church. To guide in those things. They laid their hands on them. And verse 7, and the word of God increased.
Amen.
Man, when the church got serious, they prayed, they looked out the men that were supposed to be doing the job that God had called them to do. They set them aside, they called them out and said, you do what God's told you to do. They were obedient. And we come full circle back to the word of God increasing again. Isn't that the question the church is asking today? How do we get the Word of God out? How do we see the church grow? How do we see more people get saved? How do we do what God's called us to do? Pray continually. Read the Word of God.
Amen.
And empower the people that God's called to do what God's called them to do.
Amen.
And get past the murmuring.
Amen.
Get past all the complaining and the whining and the crying. And get to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Man, there's a promise right there, isn't it? Great company of the priests. They came out of the old ways. Oh man, that sounds something Baptist as you can get. The priests moved out of the old habits and the old traditions, and they got serious about Jesus. And the Word of God increased. And the movement of God moved. And the church grew. And the church can grow today. If we're willing to do what God's called us to do. If we're willing to be obedient to the faith. Stephen in verse 8, full of the faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. It takes us to the next level, right? He's not just waiting tables. It says he's working great miracles because of the Spirit that was in him. Amongst the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue. Man, here it is again. It's just like a slap in the face, right? We get good. The momentum's going great. The Lord is working. The Word of God increases. And all of a sudden now there's a great turmoil. There arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertarians and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and of the Sicilian of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Oh man, here we go. Now we got specifics. We get all the way down to the details of who exactly these people were. He had a whole group of people against him now. First of all, the battle we got to face in the church is the church itself. Now we got to worry about outside the church. Sound familiar? They began to dispute with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. Man. Took this dumb farmer out of the midst of the group, right? Oh, you call him whatever you want him to be. I don't know. Took the everyday common guy that everybody in this church feels like they are and they don't want to do something. And God pulled him out of the midst of that.
Amen.
And called him into service. And he faithfully served God and he found himself in the midst of a whole group of people wanting to attack him for what he was doing for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And these educated and knowledgeable people looked at Stephen and they had no ability to argue against him because of the Spirit that was in him.
Amen.
Man, what power that brings to the church today. It eliminates all those questions and worries about can I do what God's told me to do because the Spirit will do it through you. The Holy Spirit wants to work in your life today and in my life and in the life of this church. And we don't need to worry about can we do it and how we do it and when we do it. We just need to worry about saying, yes, Lord, I'll do it.
Amen.
And let the Spirit of God move. They were not able to resist the wisdom. What? The important part that we see is that we started in the right place, right? What were the qualifications for these seven men? That they were honest and good rapport, that they had wisdom, that they had the Holy Spirit's direction. Why did they need those qualifications? So down the road, when we didn't know what was going to happen, God already knew it.
Amen.
And He had already set aside men ready to go through the battle. It's an important lesson for the church today that we look out when God has called you to do something, He's called you to do it, do it.
Amen.
Because He's preparing not only you, but the church for what's to come. Things that we don't even know about. Things that we can't see. And it's evidenced in that follow-up in that verse. As they continued to battle, to argue, to dispute, it says. But they had no power against Stephen because of the Spirit that was in him. Because of the Word of God that was spoke through him. Then they stubborn men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. It means they went secretly. This crowd of people, this group of people went around trying to find somebody to give a little money, give a little cash, give a little benefit, whatever it is. If you'll go over here and say that you've heard this man speaking things. That gets pretty harsh, doesn't it? It gets pretty deep when we start thinking about the fact that there's people out there that want to be that much against the will of God. They went in behind his back and they started trying to find somebody. We have heard him speak blasphemous words, right? And let's bring up the history, right? Let's bring up the family. Oh man, we bring in Moses. We bring in everybody. He's been speaking all these evil things against God. They stirred up the people. I want you to think about it this morning in the life of the church. If there's a stirring up in your life today and you feel like that anger and that frustration and that difficulty is in your heart today and you say, man, I just don't know how to deal with this. It just drives me crazy when stuff like this happens. I want you to start to recognize this morning that that's not the stirring of the Spirit. It's the very same thing that we see in this verse here. It says they stirred up the people, and it wasn't God stirring the people. It was the old devil. And the old human nature that creeps up. And so when we're hurting today, when we're struggling in the life of the church, when you're struggling in your marriage relationship, in your relationships at work, when you're struggling with friends and family, when you're struggling with church family in this building, in this place, recognize what it is. Amen. Recognize that it's the devil at work and not God. They stirred up the people, it says. And the elders and the scribes, and they came up upon him and they caught him and they brought him to the council. They stirred up all the people and they created this great big ruckus. And they set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against his holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. I don't know about you, but if you read the Bible, that's not blasphemy. That's exactly what he said he was going to do, right? They tried to use the truth of God and what Jesus was about to do against Stephen. It's what Jesus did for us at the cross. It's what Jesus did for us after he was born in a manger that we celebrate. And we think about that precious little baby and the life that he lived from the manger to the cross. That's exactly what he did. This guy's trying to stir it up. We need to get rid of him, right? And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Anybody seen an angel? What does it mean? They saw something in Stephen they'd never seen before. Amen. They saw the Spirit of God. The angels dwell with our Heavenly Father. And there's a presence that we don't understand yet. We will someday. If we know Jesus as our Savior, we'll get to celebrate that. We'll get to see those things. But at that moment, at that very instance, in the midst of what was happening in the church, in the midst of their persecution and their struggle and their difficulty, they saw what appeared to be an angel. What appeared to be the image of an angel. What tells us that they saw in this man a worldly man. Like each and every one of us. They saw an image of a man or a woman just like you today. Standing in front of them. And shining through that man was an image of a God. Amen. That they didn't understand. I wonder this morning, what would it be like today? In your home. In your relationships. In your life. In the life of this church. In the life of the community that we live in. If all that people saw when they looked at you and I was the image of God. If all they saw was the Holy Spirit that lives in our life. Not a hurtful, groaning, moaning, murmuring Christian. Not somebody that's holding on to the physical challenges of this earth. Not a person that's holding on to giving in to the things that God's called them to do. But they saw a child of God that was willing to be moved by the Spirit. And willing to say yes. In everything. For Stephen, all he did was sign up to wait tables, and look where he finds himself. Witnessing before a crowd of officials of who Jesus is. Amen. God will use you today if you're willing to put aside all of that other stuff. If you're willing to say yes today. Put off all the stuff you've been waiting for. Put off all the questions, all the worries, all the concerns, all the difficulty you might be going through. Don't let Satan run those doubts and fears through your mind. Trust in the Spirit that lives in your life today and say, yes, I'll do what you want me to do. Amen. Whatever that is. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today's your day. You can come get saved right now. We don't have to wait. You ask Jesus to be in charge of your life. Give Him your heart today. You'll know what it means to walk in the Spirit. If you've given your heart to Jesus, has He told you to do something else? Is it time for you to be baptized? Is it time for you to join this church? Is it time for you to say yes and get serious about what God's told you to do for years and you keep saying no? Let the Spirit do what He wants. Maybe it's been too long and you can't remember when you prayed last, or when you picked up your Bible, or when you truly trusted in the Spirit that you say lives in your life. There's no better time than today to be right with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your presence here in this place. Lord, I thank you for your word and your truth. I thank you for the reminder that we see in the book of Acts, Lord, through the life of these individuals. We see murmuring. We see difficulty. We see struggle and difficulty in our lives today, every single day. But Lord, I pray this morning in this place, at this moment, that we would be the children you've called us to be. That we'd get rid of all the excuses. We'd get rid of all the worries and the concerns and the fears that are running through our mind and our heart. And in this time of invitation, that we'd be serious about our relationship with you today. Lord, that we'd recognize, just as the early church did, yes, there's a problem. Yes, there's difficulty. The answer is you. The answer is being obedient to you in everything that we do. Despite what anybody might say, despite what our own human nature says, we want to be obedient to you today. And Lord, I pray in this time of invitation that you'd help us to do that. Lord, if there's decisions that need to be made, that we'd come down this aisle when the song begins, that we'd just get serious about it. We'd come down here, we'd get on our knees before you at this altar, if that's what it means. Whatever it is in this place, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be obedient. That we'd set aside all the excuses and all the worries and all the fears and just be right with you this morning. And we're going to be careful to give you the praise. And we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen.
Amen.
If you will, stand with me. If you're going to use a hymnal, it's 275. Close your eyes and bow your head. I'm going to ask Stephanie to play one more. I'm going to give you a chance if you want to do what God's called you to do today. Are you willing to stop making excuses? Stop making those worries and fears and just come and get right with God? You don't have to come talk to me. Come down here and get right with the Lord. If you need to talk to me, come. I'm here. Don't leave here today holding on to all that stuff that's interfering with the relationship with the Spirit. That's keeping you from doing what God's called you to do today. Put it all away. Trust Him. Surrender to Him. It'll change your life. Change direction in your life. Father, Lord, we come before you again. We thank you for your presence here in this place. We thank you for your word and your truth. And Lord, I pray that it is truly our heart's desire today as we leave this place, that we'd be in right fellowship and right relationship with you, that we might be the church you've called us to be, that we might be the faithful witness you desire for us to be. And Lord, that as we leave this place and others look upon us, that they would see you in your presence in our life. Lord, we thank you for the gift of a Savior. We thank you for the hope and the joy that it brings in our life. And I pray, Lord, you would lead us from this place today, just rejoicing in your Spirit. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.